Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who we slap in the meat in the middle of the ring and the stories they tell in the brotherhood, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You got Matt. You also have Jake. And today we are going to be yapping about some WWE. They've just coming off of WrestleMania. We got some new storylines, new directions for wrestlers and characters alike. It has been fun. And we also have Backlash coming up when? I think in 2 weeks, I want to say.
2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Quite around the corner. So we're getting some matches set up for that. Lots of wild stuff there. And of course, by the way, if you haven't had a chance to check out our TNA show, where we cover what went down in Rebellion, what we're hoping to see in the future of TNA, all that good stuff, make sure you check it out right here on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, it is a YouTube exclusive series. That being said, fellas, we want to just jump right into it, not waste any time. You guys feel good about
Let's
it?
Go.
Let's go. Let's dive into it, because you know how it goes over here. We like to focus on our narrative notes, and we got a lot of narrative this week because WWE really trying to, you know, grease the wheels and get things moving as we move forward post WrestleMania. Jake, you look like you had something you wanted to say.
No, I did, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it because it's more relevant to the TNA episode. So yeah, we're recording these out of order because if you're watching this, it came out yesterday.
We should go back and watch it. I don't know why we do it that way, but we just do it that way. But yes, go back and watch it. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump into our narrative notes because so much has happened. First things first, we now know why Bayley missed out on WrestleMania, and it was because Becky Lynch attacked Bayley. How could you? Oh my goodness. But most importantly, it feels like the eyes are really set on the Intercontinental title, the women's Intercontinental title. This is screaming to me. They just want to get the belt on Becky as soon as possible to just have something to do with it. That's what this is giving the impression of. Matt, do you feel the same way here?
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't like this. I don't like the way this has been edited. I don't really like the way this one has been executed.
Yeah.
I said it when it happened that it was very obvious. And then I also, from a character standpoint, if she was that quick to turn, why come back all smiles and hugs? And the goal was to get the Intercontinental title, then why did she even try to go win the tag titles? And then I feel like the motivation isn't, and the subtext isn't there 100% with this. But however, that being said, the goal of this angle, I do unfortunately agree with. I do think getting the Intercontinental title on someone like a Becky or a Bayley, I think, is a stronger move for the title. Lyra as a character has not gotten there. I think she needs some more work. So I think it's been a little stale. So I think doing this is probably a smart move in the long run.
Yeah.
But even though I haven't been biggest fan of how it was executed to get going here.
Yeah, it's messy, you know, and sometimes things are messy. But I would reckon, Jake, that since the introduction of the Women's Intercontinental title, it's just been a little messy since the tournament, right? And this makes sense. Now, does this lead to Becky Bayley, though, I guess, naturally?
I mean, that's where I assumed it was going. We talked about this last week, and this is exactly what I thought they were doing, is that they wanted to legitimize the IC title. Now, I don't know if you have to put it on Becky to do that. I think that this seems like it's a big, like, course correction thing that they're doing here, right? But if Lyra finally, like, gets fired up, as we kind of see her here in this photo, if we can get her fired up and pull that personality and whatever out of her and then legitimize her by beating Becky, you can still do it that way. I don't think that's the direction that we're ultimately going, though. I think that it's obviously leading toward Becky dethroning Lyra and then Bayley ultimately winning the IC title. And that's kind of the direction we're going.
Yeah.
But yeah, Becky's reasoning is a little, it's not super well thought out, because you're exactly
undercooked.
Right. Like,
yeah,
a little bit you're exactly right. What was the point of her winning the titles to just drop them if she wasn't going to, if she didn't want them in the first place? It's some very odd reasoning. I think it's kind of a thing that, like, yeah, it's just like, hey, here's a loose reason why she's a bad guy. We're going to gloss over it. She's a bad guy now. Deal with it.
Yeah. And sometimes it do be like that.
I'm afraid sometimes it do. But that's kind of how it feels in this situation, of just like saying, hey, boo her now. She's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes I don't even think that bad guys necessarily, you know, or I keep calling them bad guys. Like, it's a, I don't necessarily think heels always need a good reason to be heels.
Yeah.
Or for the things that they do. But like,
especially in these instances,
it helps.
Yeah, it helps with the story. It helps with the story, but like, it's very clear right now. Like, they just got to build it. You know, they just got to build it, and they got to build that division, the mid card division, out a bit more. For WWE across the U.S. and the Intercontinental Women's Championships, which we'll talk about one of the big changes that happened over there, which I'm sure you guys already see on the narrative notes, but we'll move forward for right now. Another big thing, Pat McAfee is challenged Gunther, and then Nick Aldis, who is stepping in for Adam Pearce as GM, come out and says, hey, we already talked about it and we want you guys to face at Backlash. Cool.
Look, I'm fine. Here's why I'm fine.
I don't really care about
it.
Pat McAfee that much, so it doesn't, like, either negative nor positive, so it doesn't really impact me that much, but it's like, I kind of see what they're doing here.
I think Pat is better on the mic and in the ring than he is at the commentary desk.
I really do,
because, like, it's
interesting assessment.
I really think, because when
he is
a legitimately good athlete, and I think he showed some great moments in the ring, you know, in his previous matches with Adam Cole and with Austin Theory at Mania. Like, those were fun. People got behind him. But Pat, I think one thing that people are learning about Pat is that he very much can be a small doses kind of person.
Yeah,
he can be a lot at commentary, and I think in part of that, it's not because, I mean, yes, Pat, and I think Pat would even admit this, is obnoxious.
Yeah,
but a lot of that but to be fair, I think a lot of that comes from passion. I think he really is passionate about wrestling and really does love it and wants to give everything that he has to it. He just needs to learn when to dial it back. I
will be honest with you, as a commentator, and Matt, I know you can attest to this as well. I mean, my philosophy is, you don't make the show about you, because you're there to tell the stories of the people that are there. And mm-hmm. And I understand why Pat was brought on. It's the reason why I probably will never get hired to do wrestling, because I'm just a commentator, right? Like, I'm just a commentator.
You need to have a teaspoon of hush.
I understand.
That's what you need.
The reason why I'm only mentioning this, because Pat is a celebrity. At the end of the mm-hmm. day, Pat is a known commodity. He's very successful. He has his ESPN show. You know, they've essentially, like, completely changed the way sports, for better or for worse, sports commentary is being done, like, on a pundit level. So, you know, like, I understand. But I'll be
but
honest to
his,
what you said. He's just been blech on commentary because of that.
I thought his promo was great. And that's the thing. When he cuts those kinds of promos, when he just is on the mic for a couple minutes, he does his thing. I think he's killer at it. I think he's really good on the mic.
Mm.
I think this has to be a squash. It has to be a squash, because otherwise, what are we doing? Because we want to continue having the legitimacy of Gunther as a competitor, right? And we already saw his, like, you know, doubting himself moments, and we had that. But that's not what I want now. I want on a mission, like, to murder Gunther. He's suspended. That's what I want.
So Gunther's going to be off TV for a while.
Right. And so he's off stewing. He's pissed off. McAfee. And it'll be like every Gunther match is, where they get a little bit of offense in and they still look good. But at the end of the day, I want Gunther to power bomb the life out of Pat McAfee and put him down 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And it really shouldn't be anything more than that. It needs to. And honestly, that's fine, because I do think it's kind of interesting of a, like, I kind of think it is an interesting story with Gunther being like, oh, you think you can talk shit about me? Nobody is safe. I don't give a shit if you are a commentator.
Yeah.
No one is safe when Gunther is on the prowl. And that is what I think is the point of this, to a degree, is to bring the fear back for Gunther.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to see from this. And honestly, I think McAfee's a decent candidate to do that, because I don't think you want to just crush one of your wrestlers and kill any momentum that they might have.
That's a good point.
So bring in somebody else who is over with the crowd, who is a face, essentially, who can still go in the ring, be entertaining. It's a name that draws attention to
some eyeballs, you know.
It's going to be talked about on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gunther just reduces him to pulp. Yeah. And then it's served its purpose and it's great.
Yeah. And then, you know, you keep Gunther off for a little while.
And you got a guy who does his talking on the mic and a guy who does his talking in the ring. And I think it's like, I understand that maybe I have a optimistic perspective on it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also me trying to Becky Lynch style grasp at some straws to make this work. But I think you can. I think you have to tread lightly with this. You got to be careful with this story, because you don't want to, like, you just do not want to take any of the emotional cachet you've built with Gunther away from him.
Matt, anything you wanted to add on?
I mean, that's exactly where I was going to go. I mean, you don't want anything to hurt. I mean, Gunther's coming off of a loss. We want to build him back up, if anything. And Pat, again, he's wrestled, but I mean, he's wrestles like once a year. In this universe, he's a broadcaster. First and foremost,
he wrestled, I think, was 2 years ago.
Yeah. If this can't be anywhere near 50-50, you know what I mean? Like, there can be a couple of, like,
70-30 at best.
Yeah. You know, he slips out of this. He's able to counter that. Oh, he's tough. He's staying in there. You know what I mean? For a minute. But at the end of the day, he needs to get destroyed.
Yeah.
I just want the best case scenario from this is it brings back the coal mine. plexiglass.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Just bring back the coal mine.
Bring back the coal mine.
In the end, all the gimmicks just get reused again. That's what we need. That's what we need.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move forward here because we had another return. Nia Jax is back and she attacked Tiffany Stratton. So that's setting up, you know, another encounter between them. I actually am okay with this, because I don't think
we need some payoff from that.
We didn't get a good ending from there. We kind of just moved on from it too fast. And this is a good fodder for Tiffany. So like this, well done. Let's keep eyes on this. But whoa, Zelina Vega is the brand new Women's United States champion after the Secret Hervis were sent away for interfering for the match one too many times. And then Zelina Vega managed to squeak by, get the win over Chelsea Green, and is now the Women's United States champion. Listen, I understand people have issues with this, but firstly, Zelina's Puerto Rican, so I don't care what anyone says. It's right and justified.
Yeah, of course.
So I knew you already know. The bias is already there, and there's nothing y'all could do about it. That being said, let's talk about it narratively here.
It don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense narratively. It doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that you do get Chelsea interacting and you do get more. You're going to get something out of this. Did you need to do it this way? I don't know. But something tells me that there's a bigger plan here, and I can't help but scratch that thought in my head unless I'm trolling.
So I feel the exact opposite.
Okay.
Something tells me there is no bigger plan here, and this was just a post-Mania hype. The only bigger plan that I could see, I don't think there's a bigger plan for Zelina. She's awesome. I don't think this is the way to do this. I told you guys off the show, whatever. I think the best way to handle to use a title to elevate someone is the old Shark Tank theory. You want to pour gasoline on a fire, and unfortunately, Zelina Vega has been ashes for the last year or so.
Yeah.
Not her fault, just creatively. She hasn't been given a lot.
She's been stuck with the LWO for like managing God knows how long.
The LWO.
Yeah.
Not even wrestling really half the time. So out of nowhere, like if she would have built some steam with her, had her doing something, show her some, give us some new vignettes with her. She's been winning some matches, a new side of her character. And then you capitalize on it by having this win. Whoa. Then you shoot her up. The out of nowhere, I don't think there's plans for her. Maybe there's plans for Chelsea to head towards Tiffany post this Nia Jax situation, post Backlash.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm cool with that.
I'd like to see Chelsea go back to Raw with the Secret Hervis and get into the world title picture. I think that would be cool. If it's cool to just get her out of SmackDown and put her on Raw, because as much as I do like Chelsea and what she's
rather
been doing,
stay on SmackDown.
I think that Io and Chelsea, that could be a really fun. Like, can you imagine that Io and Chelsea
Green?
I think
Tiffany and Chelsea would be super interesting too. What I think they could do here is I think they could do. Chelsea goes over to Tiffany. Maybe she tries to help her in this match against Nia, and that's kind of how we get her involved a little bit. And Chelsea kind of sees her as like a, oh, you're a fellow like glitzy and glamour girl. I'll tell you what, my Secret Hervis can help you. It can be something like that, but I can see her getting involved because Chelsea Green is the type of character who you can literally insert into anything, because inserting herself into whatever she wants is exactly what Chelsea Green does.
Yeah.
So wherever you want to put her, it works. She's just like she's that.
I just feel like there's something here for Chelsea Green long term. Otherwise,
we're headed toward her wearing a world title. I don't know which one. I don't know who it's against. But damn it, if we don't put a world championship on Chelsea Green, what are we doing?
At least once.
At the end of the day.
At least once.
What are we doing?
Yeah. It because of all the women on the roster right now, she's got the best story. She's got one of the best characters.
She arguably, aside from like Rhea, is the most over. Everybody loves her character.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody sees the work that she's putting in. Like, I just can't talk highly enough about. I think Chelsea Green can be WWE's Toni Storm.
Yeah. That is bold, but I like that. And look,
I think the other part that needs
to be mentioned here as well is Piper Niven and Alba Fire, because they've been great. And I think that is a tag team that I would like to see get tag team gold. And there is a team that doesn't really have a lot going on Monday Night Raw that could very well, I mean, granted, it's
a
women's tag team, so they can do it anywhere. But
and the rumor is Liv needs to go away for a while for an incredible movie role.
So
that would make sense too.
A little bit of real life coming into it. I don't know, guys. I think to always goes back to our theory. The thing that we always say, Matt, you said it best. You want to get a team over? What do? You drape them in gold. And it's Secret Hervis is tag team champions. Chelsea Green is world champion. I'd buy that.
I want to see more women's factions.
We almost never
see women's factions. We did with Damage Control
and it was kind of
up and down, and with
Fusion Collective
but we see
how that's gone. I think Chelsea coming in with her and the
Secret opportunity.
Hervis,
there's opportunity.
So much opportunity, and I think it, yeah, and I just think it'd be great to have her be like this, like motivational, you know, like, you can do it too. Just come join the Chelsea way and do the, like,
yeah, yeah.
And she just, like, if she becomes this, like, wrestling influencer kind of almost, that's that sure. slash like secret cult leader in a way, yeah, kind yeah. of thing, where it's just like, I'm Hervis, just using all these people.
The secret Hervis doesn't need the presidential gimmick now. I don't think so. I think the secret Hervis could just be a security force
100%
for Chelsea.
100%
And
yes.
and you basically have J&J Security 2.0.
With I would love if, because the whole secret Hervis and Chelsea, it was all around the US title, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a US champion, so it's all kind of into the candidate gimmick or whatever. I would love it. It was just immediately drop that because she's not US champion anymore. So they're not the secret Hervis anymore. Now they're come up with a new name, like
the security Hervis. Just
forget that. Just forget that exists. No, like they're the Rumpelsteins or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Literally, just totally everything. Like, what are you talking about? I wasn't like
they're
chameleons.
Yeah,
it's like they would just totally switch.
I just love that we can think of these
memory wipe.
We could think of these bonkers ideas because we know that they could pull it off, and I think that's the reason why. We're all so big on Chelsea Green.
I just imagine her doing that moment like in Parks and Rec when Ron gets awarded.
Yes, Women of the
Year.
Noticed it. No, when Ron gets noticed in Bloosh.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes to that party, and I just can see Chelsea saying, "This group no longer is. It was." And then they just changed their name.
That would be good.
You know?
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's move on real fast. So, because, funny enough, Zelina Vega wins the United States Championship. And, oh, would you look at that? Aleister Black shows up in WWE.
How about that?
So, love that. That's
a contract negotiation, maybe.
Indeed, right?
I'll come back on the condition.
that Zelina wins tonight. No, that definitely not what happened. But Aleister Black comes back to attack The Miz.
Well, what a night for the House of Black, though.
Yeah, really so. Here's the thing, though. He came back, same NXT music. Love that. That was
awesome.
Loved
it. Thank God.
Same character from when he left, so it feels like he didn't, you know, nothing really changed for him. And to be fair, nothing did really change for him in AEW, so you kind of just pick up where he left off for Aleister Black. And, I mean, we'll keep eyes on this, but it seems like him and Miz are going to be fine for a little while.
Yeah,
so good to see him back. And, of course, show a little pick, because you got to give love to the legend. That man nearly kicked me in the face one time to show me that he can kick me in the face at any point in time that he wants to. And let me tell you, he got within a really close to my nose, and I gained a whole new respect for that man that day. Mm-hmm. Aleister Black is the real deal, and everyone needs to know this. Because I did a show with Woods where this is when Kofi just won the WWE Championship, and it was for Mortal Kombat, and that's when I met Zelina and Aleister Black there.
Okay.
And we were talking about wrestling, all this stuff, and he just wanted to show off how good he can kick. And he nearly kicked me in the face. And it was 100%. Awesome. It was awesome. I would 10 out of 10. That's an experience he should sell because it was a wild ride. Now, of course, we have some more wild things happening because Jacob Fatu now is basically in the U.S. title picture with not just LA Knight, but with Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. And guys, I think this is just Jacob Fatu just running the numbers up, all gas, no brakes. This is how you legitimize the hell out of Jacob Fatu, have him beat their shit out of some of WWE's finest wrestlers across the board to make him that guy, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
I feel like he can do for the US title what Gunther did for the IC title.
That's it. That's it. I was thinking, I'm so glad you caught it.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what they need to do with it, honestly.
Yeah.
He's like, dangerous. He feels legitimate. And then when the time is right, after a good reign, you can make a new star potentially by dethroning him down the line.
Yeah. And also,
comes out in a Raiders jersey. Oh, man. Like,
he looks so badass, man. Jacob Fatu is doing it different, and I'm all about it. Like,
and the crowd is eating it up.
Yeah. It's like if Marshawn Lynch became a professional wrestler. That's how he feels to me, right?
Dude, like a little bit, you know. He takes all the things that people loved about him, but I can about, go yeah. in the ring and go better than a lot of people. He is, dude. I'm all gas, no brakes, baby. all gas, no brakes. It's the best. Jacob Fatu, this whole run, he's like making me want to make like keep up with everything that's going on with him. And now that those three men are circling in the U.S. title picture, what the hell? They're going to put on bangers.
And you even said at Mania that there were a ton of werewolf shirts out in the building.
So many red shirts out weekend. In the crowd of that wolf. And people.
Dude, he's.
It's a sick logo. I love that design.
Yeah. He's essentially, I mean, I guess they're kind of working him in between or whatever. But I mean, on paper, he's still like a heel.
Yeah.
But that whole building on SmackDown was chanting Fatu. People love, they are into it.
He's got a I wasn't watching when he was around, but it does give me the feeling of Umaga, right? And like
I was just about to say that this, like, feels like he's just about to build him to be
this is what they wanted from Umaga, but it's even better because it's so much more him, you know, than it is.
Yeah.
It's authentic. He's a Samoan tribal, like, you know, like I get it. And there's nothing wrong with that character. There's nothing wrong with that approach.
And there wasn't. It popped off at the time.
Exactly. Dude. But this feels so much more authentic that it's clearly resonating with people. Jacob Fatu will be a world champion. He will hold the world championship. He will hold the WWE championship. Mark my words. I'm saying it right here. The man is just too good. There is also another group of people that were just too good. And in fact, it was a crime that they were not on the WrestleMania card. And that is our last narrative note here. The Street Profits, Motor City Machine Guns, and DIY literally put on a freaking masterclass of how to do a TLC match in the modern era on SmackDown. And this matchup should have been on WrestleMania, and it wasn't. What the... This is so... Okay. This match was incredible. And it wasn't on the card as we had just noted, which was a little frustrating. What match should it have replaced? Because if they knew that this was the match that they were going to do, there had to have been some other ones that you could have just, you know, yeeted out of the card. No pun intended. So what, Matt, you have one? You have a pick?
My boys, I love them. I appreciate them. But the New Day and War Raiders.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough steam there. I get it, putting it on the heel New Day and everything, but it's just
that. It would have been so much cooler to see Tez just like be on the top of that, like, you know, with the Street Profits losing their minds. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had my druthers, it would have been Logan Paul and AJ Styles.
Hands down.
Now, I understand. He's got, oh, you know, it's celebrity, and he's an ass. So no, get him off my car.
and now he's like fighting Jay, because I didn't even put it on the notes. I forgot to put it on the notes. That's actually really funny that I forgot to put it on the notes. It's an emerging thing. I wouldn't be shocked if this is like one of the Saudi events that they're gonna do and have that they like randomly pop up out of nowhere and advertise as like a big deal that we're all suddenly supposed to care about.
Is there supposed to be a Is there supposed to be a Saturday night's main event sometime soon?
Oh, that could also be. I don't know, but
I could see them doing it for that.
Yeah.
Just for mainstream. Backlash. It could also just be Backlash. Yeah. Look, there will be Backlash.
I'm just going to say that this matchup was so good. It did so many things well. It had so many crazy spots. And honestly, like, it's exactly what you'd want from
the prosthetic leg moment was amazing.
And for those who don't know, basically there was a fan that was trying to get wrestlers to use the prosthetic leg, and they recorded them doing it multiple times. And then finally Tez just said, yeah, I'm going to go for it. And just grabs it and gets the biggest pop of the night. It was so freaking awesome. I'm going to see if I can find a picture of it. But, man, it was great. This was just a wild matchup.
Now we just need to Photoshop that with a leg in it.
Yeah. and it just shows, like, hey, man, the WWE tag team division is good. You just got to give them that space. On SmackDown to have these matches.
Which this just further solidified in my mind between this and like the lackluster women's intercontinental scene until maybe now with Becky, we'll see. To me, this just further solidified my a point months ago when we were talking about titles that I'm like, I wish they would split them up and like SmackDown would have like the women's mid-card and the tag division. And then Raw has women's world title and the women's tag division or something like that. So like, yeah. But they don't, and they can each shine without both shows having to have both. And all that,
and it doesn't mean that like you. So much. It doesn't mean that you keep because see, I like what AEW is doing, where AEW will do like they'll take the trios titles, for example, and when they want to like make it marquee, they'll do it, but they'll build that stuff up on Collision, and then they'll like do something on like what they did with this last one with the Death Riders and the Ops. Like they did that on Dynamite, but that whole narrative was built up on Collision. And could you have done it on Collision? Sure, but it was a big match. So Dynamite's the premier show. You want to put it on the big match there. That's obviously a different, you know, endpoint than what you're talking about. But I do think that at the very least, like, I don't know, maybe the tag titles for the men and the women, you just have one. Do you really need two tag titles across both shows? Like, because you kind of limit yourself. And then this way you can have the tag champions go between different shows and have different stories between different shows. I don't know. Maybe it's too much, but it's this match just should have been on the card. It should have been at WrestleMania. It was an oversight. Yeah. That was a bad call, plain and simple. But you know what, though? What matters most was this moment.
But good
right
on
here.
Them.
That's
because
what matters.
Because honestly, if it wasn't for the four teams in this match, we wouldn't be saying that in the first place.
Three teams.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the three teams in this match, we wouldn't be saying that in the first place.
Yeah.
Like they got the match over. Because there have been matches that we've seen get left off the Mania card that that people have been like, oh, that should have been on the. And then we see a payoff from it after, and it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe it was fine where it was. This is the opposite. So it's to me, it's as much a credit to those guys as it is a discredit to the people who didn't put it on.
And honestly, I would even say more of a credit to the guys who did the match, because
shout out.
They made me go and find that match on my own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sorry.
Yeah,
go for
you.
Matt. Yeah.
All of you.
You everyone should
all do that.
Yeah.
This gave me strong TLC 3 vibes. Do you guys remember TLC 3?
Yep. Which one was that?
So TLC blew up in 2001, right?
Yeah.
First one was at SummerSlam 2000, the Hardys, Dudleys,
legendary match.
And Christian. They did it again at WrestleMania 17, TLC 2. Then they did TLC 3 on SmackDown, kind of randomly after Jericho and Benoit ended up winning the title. So it was the same, the three original teams plus Jericho Benoit. And they main evented SmackDown with a TLC match for the titles kind of randomly, but it's a banger match to be randomly booked on a SmackDown. Where it's like, they made the most of it, even though it was in a regular TV scenario. So like this gave me a lot of those vibes.
Yeah. And they also
May 24th, 2001.
Yep.
Wow.
Damn, that was a minute.
And you know what, man? I mean, I think
two and a half decades. Jesus Christ. What happened? Time is a motherfucker.
Time is a motherfucker. That is very true. That should be the title of the episode. Honestly, though, I mean, everything about this was.
Look at that right there. Damn.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. I loved it. Of course, they put up the match on YouTube. Go and watch it. Just give them as many views as possible on that and show them that you want more tag team wrestling, because this was just brilliant. Really.
I want DIY to claim that the only reason they lost was because Ciampa had to shave.
Dude, Ciampa looked like a different human being.
And that's the source. That's the source of his
mic. I thought it was Eric Young a couple times. It
threw
me off. It was a little perplexing. Let's go ahead, though, and move on to some of our bigger topics here because, again, lots going on. This time around, though, we have, let me make sure I'm getting this one right. Yes, this is Sami Zayn coming into the crosshairs of whatever they want to call themselves right now. But there were a few things I wanted to talk about from the promo itself. Firstly, I love the usage of the trading. We'll get you off of Raw, put you on SmackDown, get you a world title match. Like, I actually really like that. I thought that was a clever way to kind of get the real elements of WWE, like the trades and the managers and the deals, like getting that one there. But I love the way that Sami Zayn was like, dude, what is different from this to what Roman did, right? Like, what is different here? So I want to get your thoughts on it, because Matt, it's screaming Bloodline.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, I think it's a little bit more, given Seth's character, it'll end up being a little bit more erratic. It'll be a little bit more loosey-goosey, a little loose cannony. I think I can see Paul Heyman having a little bit of trouble with that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's how a lot of factions work. You have someone kind of a mastermind, you have a leader, you have an enforcer, you have a team or whatever, however you want to do it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's not wrong. But I agree. I like that the way they handled this first kind of challenger to them, if you will, in Sammy, the first person to step up to them. I like the way Seth treated it in his $13,000 jacket, apparently.
No joke, dude.
Yeah, like that's
somebody
crazy.
Found it on a scan. I think found it on a store. That's unreal.
That's wild.
So I like that he treated, instead of the typical, like, if you're not with us, you're against us. We'll destroy you. He kind of,
but it's not a threat.
Played into like the real life relationship. It's not a threat. It's an offer. Just head out. Yeah. Head out of town. Go over there. You'll do great. And you don't have to worry about any of us.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that typical, we are mean, we will destroy you. They added a little more. And of course, it ultimately got there by spearing him 18 million times. But I did like how that promo went down. And Sammy's always such a good promo anyway. So
Yeah. And also, I thought this moment was great as well when Seth gave the same motion, you know, that our dear friend Dwayne gave to Cena when that moment came, when he's like, "Ah, time to cut him out, time to kill him, time to get this job done."
Let us not come back to full screen. I'm saying you're comparing. He did the same motion. No, let's not throw our final boss under the.
Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. This is actually what humans do. This thing was, you know, like just an absurd motion. But you were so right. But in any case, so what ended up happening was this. A spear multiple times, like three spears or something like that, that he gave in a match, and in one really devastating
death
one.
Death by breaker. Yeah. That was the
You know what sense. I like about that? There's part of me that almost wants to see it physically manifested with a prop, but it would probably get a little weird and sexy. I love Go that. On. Braun Breaker. But Braun, his whole thing has been, what, the woof, 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 woof. He's a dog, right? Like, now he's literally the junkyard dog. Of Ooh. Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman, the dog on the chain. And when Seth, whenever he wants,
lets him off the leash,
lets the chain go, and off he goes.
But that could easily be BDSM. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Know,
not that there's anything wrong with that. But
look how Seth dresses and then tell me that he's not into that. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it ended with this big attack, and you know, there's not much really that we're gonna pull from it, but it's really the subtle things that Seth said in the promo, which I think with anything with Paul Heyman, it's worth paying attention to the subtleties, the small details that they like to throw in there. One of those small details being what their mission is, you know, what they want to accomplish. And obviously, right. It's to be the champion, to have gold and all this stuff. I just find it interesting that it's starting here on Monday Night Raw. But something tells me this is not a thing that just is on Monday Night Raw. This will make its way over to SmackDown, I feel. I'm pumped for where this is going. But it's still so early days that I don't want to be like, they're doing this. Because it's hard to tell, right?
Yeah. For him, I'd love for Seth to actively recruit along... You know, across
who do you think he goes and gets? Who?
Oh God, I don't who's know, sitting... man.
The answer's obvious.
Oh, is it, Matt?
Somebody who just won their Becky WrestleMania Lynch? Debut. Somebody Ooh. Who has exploded onto the scene with consecutive win after win after win and taken the international community by storm. That being
El Grande Americano.
Guys, you guys just know how to, you know how to get me. You know how to get me. Oh, you know what though? That makes me feel good. Makes me feel happy. You guys know me. That's how you know we're friends, you know, because like you guys just get it. Oh man.
But no, for real. I don't know. We asked the same question last week. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Braun Strowman.
They're not turning pin to heel right now.
Braun Strowman?
I don't know. Feels not inspired.
Doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Or maybe you just keep it to these two. You know, which you I'm also not opposed to. Right? Because Sammy kind of laid it out. He's like, what's the difference? You got your guard dog, you have your wise man, you know, blah blah blah.
I'd love to see a woman get added.
True. Yeah. Becky?
I mean, Becky, you could finally, put them back together on the screen.
And I think WWE does quite well with, like, intergender factions. You know, like, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Judgment Day did quite well, even getting the men involved in the storyline with the women on occasion, especially when it was Rhea and Liv, I thought was pretty good. So, yeah, let us know. Let us know in the comments if you think they should add someone or not. And why? We want to hear from you. We want to know what you think because it's a lot of question marks with this one.
Andrade?
I wouldn't hate
Andrade it. Andrade could be fun.
Or Rusev and Aleister Black. Rusev. Rusev actually is compelling. Like, Rusev
Aleister's
is compelling.
Not a follower.
I feel like
though.
He's
That's
got his own
thing.
Journey to go on.
What, Rusev?
Yeah.
Or Aleister?
Yeah.
Neither one of them are followers, really.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that Rusev gets that opportunity to work with Paul Heyman. Like, as a character, that is compelling because Paul Heyman, you know, has a good track record. Like, because I actually want the team to really center around Paul more than Seth, you know, because I like the idea of this is their Don Callis, right? Like, this is their, like, guy who just breeds champions. All he does is just make champions. Go for it, Jake.
Drew McIntyre?
Oh, no, but with Seth? Do they have?
But remember, he tried to, like, Drew tried to get in Seth's head, too, about, like, hey, man, you got to put a stop to it. They tried to kind of team up at one point before.
That is compelling.
And if he just pitches this as we're the anti-bloodline and, you know.
That is compelling.
And Drew's like, sure.
Alternatively, though, now Kevin Owens might be fun for the parallel.
He's months out.
He's months out. It would have been fun, but it would have been fun for the parallel of Sammy being the one who deals with this team when KO was the one dealing with Bloodline, you know?
Sure.
I know the obvious choice.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
R-Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a gun, you've done it again.
R-Truth needs to be like the kid in school who's just trying to put like group activities on his resume.
I do also, before we move on.
I want him to get in the secret Hervis.
Actually, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to move on because I do want to talk real quick about R-Truth because we did get an R-Truth segment on SmackDown with John Cena. And as we know now, we're in Bizarro World now. John Cena is the bad guy. Randy Orton's the good guy. He said it himself. He doesn't know what the hell's going on here. But here's the thing.
And R-Truth's the only one making sense. What's going on?
R-Truth went to John Cena and said, like, he was a big fan of his and all this stuff. And then Jimmy Uso showed up and R-Truth was like, man, that's the real world champion right there. Like, everything about it was like, bro, I could see R-Truth becoming a lackey for John Cena. And I want it so
bad.
Dude,
they had an incredible program with I loved. That was when he started doing the little Jimmy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And feuding with Cena. I ate that up. I loved it.
I would want it. And like, because R-Truth is the only one who sees John Cena the way that John Cena sees himself.
Yeah.
It actually wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't
and
be
he,
bad.
And he's like, manipulating our truth, and yeah. Truth doesn't realize it. And everybody's like, how can you, come on, Truth, how can you not see?
And everyone keeps like, and then,
that would be awesome.
And then can you imagine you that. Get the moment where Truth finally realizes that he's been taking advantage of John Cena. So what does he do? He does the five moves.
Our Truth, world champion. We're calling it right here. Our Truth world champion.
I would not hate it, but man, I just want them to keep going with this. I just want them to keep going.
Yeah.
I think there's something there that would be really fun to lean on a bit more. Let's talk about this though. Randy Orton, John Cena, it's official. It's happening at Backlash. I think what's going to make this so great is because those positions are switched, obviously. But how do you get out of it, I guess, is the thing I'm really interested in. How do you get out of it if you're WWE? You know, do you keep Randy Orton in the picture still? Like what goes on with this, Matt? What do you think?
No, I think this is a classic Backlash thing. I think it's going to be a John Cena win. I think it's going to be underhanded. I think it's going to be a cheat, a victory of some type, but yeah. I think it's just the first. And also John, I think is on, forget it, in real life too. He's on a legitimate farewell tour. He is retiring. Mm-hmm. So I think he does want to face some of his greatest opponents probably. So
yeah,
Randy's one of those. I think Punk will be one of those.
R-Truth.
There's a lot of people. R-Truth, for sure.
R-Truth is one of them. Yeah.
But yeah. So I think this is just a first kind of check mark for the new heel Cena regime. I'm sure it will be underhanded. But yeah. I think it's just kind of a straight up, this is your first stepping stone.
Yeah.
I think we see Cena like target his neck a lot. I think that's the kind of stuff we're going to see from Cena, is that he's like going after the injury, and trying to re-injure Randy and do stuff like that. And I don't know that that's how I agree with Matt. It's going to be by some sort of nefarious means that he's going to end up beating Orton. But I'm interested to see how Cena works this match against Randy, because the story's there, and you know, the story's going to be, it's going to be good enough, because you just want to see Cena and Orton face off again. But
do they do the whole boring match thing like they did at Mania? Or
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think that's
not quite to the same degree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But no surprise, we all know that this is ending, you know, with Cena winning, right? There's way too much to do here. But yeah, I'm just curious. Why don't you go ahead and let us know in the comments, what do you think? How do you see this match playing out? Or, you know, you can just also be honest and tell us how R-Truth saves John Cena, and that is, you know, basically. And you know what? You know what? If that happens, oh boy,
it would be great.
That would be amazing.
That would be so great.
But you know what though? All things considered, post WrestleMania, it's been entertaining. It's been solid. It's been solid TV for WWE. Hasn't been like all that crazy, but this is kind of also how it was when Cody won and post, you know, WrestleMania 40. I feel like they
a little
really,
bit of a reset.
Yeah, they get their
kind of like.
I feel like the first big, like real big thing that we're gonna see regarding Cena is who wins Money in the Bank.
I think
that's going to be a big tell for how the rest of it goes. I think we're kind of maybe in a little bit of a holding pattern for that to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that could be very interesting. Hell, it'd be amazing if Punk wins Money in the Bank.
I was going to say Punk is a very well-known Mr. Money in the Bank. So.
I mean, Punk, the everything happening Punk versus Cena at Money in the Bank in 2011, and he wins Money in the Bank to face Cena for the time. I mean, that's
like George Lucas said, it's poetry, it rhymes, you know. What were you gonna say, Matt?
I think I was trying to look up, I believe, is CM Punk the only, well, no, I know he's at least, he was the first person to win Money in the Bank twice.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's ever won it three times.
Oh,
not that I know.
So
you want to give someone a record,
set a little record. Yeah. A little record or something like that.
Yeah.
He didn't win his WrestleMania main event, but like, you want to give him another little attaboy or something like that.
Yeah.
Give him another record.
Like a thing that's only exclusive to him. Yeah. That could be, honestly. Yeah. I think we might be cooking in that regard. All right. Well, there you have it. Of course, lots of things going on in WWE. We'll be keeping eyes on it all. That takes us to our final segment of the day. When we say final, we mean final, because this is it. There's nothing else after this, because it's the last ever Jake's Retro Ribbage. Of course, this is when Jake draws a card from some packs that he found in a mine in the middle of South Africa. What was he doing over there? We don't know. We don't ask questions. You know, we'd rather him not say, you know, preferably they didn't want him to be there to begin with. But
and
hey,
I don't remember the answer I gave customs anyway. So yeah,
and we don't want to have him implicated. So in that case, let's go ahead and move forward here. Jake, what's the final number? Numero seis.
The final number, pack number six. No need for a poll on this one.
There it is.
Let's give me one
El Gigante. That's all I want
is
one El Gigante.
Let's see what we get. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Starting off with the Stinger.
Yeah.
Yet again.
Of course.
All right. Got a Sting card. Got a Terry Taylor card.
Big fan.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Greatest achievement, winning the TV title.
Yep.
Fabulous Freebirds out of Bad Street, USA. All right. Mr. Wall Street.
Nice.
Whose favorite maneuver may be happening sooner rather than later, the stock market crash.
Topical.
Uh-huh. Here we go, Lex Luger, the total package.
Good one.
From Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, speaking of, we got another Steiner Brothers featuring Papa Rick right there. We got another Sting.
Love it.
Ironically, right next to a Ric Flair.
Okay. No El Gigante. Okay. I don't think we're going to get
Where
it,
else
man.
Are we going? I don't know if we are. Here we go. We got a Southern Boys. Uh-huh.
Oh, man. The tension
got,
for El Gigante.
Ooh, another Ric Flair, but with big gold right there.
Oh,
that's a good
one. I don't think we've gotten that one before.
I don't think we've gotten that variant.
Fresh meat.
Yeah, that one's good. Fresh.
Another
top.
Southern Boys.
All right.
So many repeats.
Yeah.
I know. And the final card.
No.
It's just Sid Vicious.
Oh.
Sid Vicious is the final card of the final pack.
I would have taken a lie. You know, if you just busted out the
Elegant. But here we go. This is all the cards.
Wow.
That we have opened.
We went through all of them.
Yep. Every single pack.
Look at that. All because.
Yeah. And there we go. The fruits of our labor.
Well done.
Right there.
Jake jacked these off of a homeless man in the middle of 53rd
Listen, what I did to that homeless man is irrelevant, but I got the packs of cards.
Easy, buddy.
Well, there you have it, folks. We got to figure out what to do next. I don't know what our new weekly thing will be, but we'd love to hear from you guys. Go ahead. You know, we're always down to take some suggestions. So sound off in the comments down below. We could do some fun stuff there. But yeah, that is going to do it for us here in our WWE show. Lots of wild things happened this week. But of course, we're always keeping eyes on the storylines. We'll see what happens as we get ready for SmackDown, which is going to be airing tonight. And then, of course, Monday Night Ross, where we talk about all the latest that happens across those shows, as well as on AEW, and don't forget TNA as well. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we appreciate you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time, folks. Peace.